Hi, and welcome to Faith Points, a weekly podcast from Faith Point United Methodist Church. If you'd like to join us for worship on Sunday morning, or just want some more info, visit us on the web at faithpointum.org, or you can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/faithpointum, or you can find us on Facebook. And now, a weekly message from Pastor Chris Bishop.
So we're talking gratitude today, and there's a traditional scripture in the lectionary, and so there's the lectionary is a multi-year kind of reading pattern of scripture, and so we sometimes stick to it, sometimes most often we don't, but those liturgical churches will have this pattern, and so the passage from Luke 17 today comes, and it is the liturgical day where we celebrate Thanksgiving. So this is the Thanksgiving scripture. We're doing it a little bit early because we're kicking off this gratitude series. So Luke 17, 11 through 19 reads like this. It may be familiar. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee, and he entered into a village, and 10 men with a skin disease approached him. Now, typically, this was called leprosy or so, but they had skin disease. They approached him, keeping their distance from him. They raised their voice. They hailed out to him and said, "Jesus, Master, show us mercy." And when Jesus saw them, he said, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And they left, and they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, returned to praise God with a loud voice. He fell on his face at Jesus' feet and he thanked him. He was a Samaritan. And Jesus replied, "Weren't 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? And no one returned to praise God except for this foreigner. And then Jesus said, "Get up and go. Your faith has healed you." That's always a fun, I don't know. I always have imagery of that being a fun pre-Thanksgiving conversation, because there's nothing like people with skin diseases and body parts like falling off to then get you into the mood for like turkey, right? So I think this is a little bit better timing. But as we do that, as we talk about gratitude today, as we talk about those things where our hearts elate, we also recognize kind of the other side of the coin, which is sometimes our hard times, and that there is stress and anxiety. And so we're going to talk specifically about that next week. But if you think about those times that are hard and stressful, for us, for the Bishop family in general, bedtime is one of those hard times. I don't know about you, but for our littles, they have always been tricky, and even for my wife, because every one of us has said, "I just can't turn off my brain." Anybody there with me that like that might be the first time that you pause and take a breath in the day, or maybe you had a little bit of quiet time before the chaos of the day started, but really, when everything is still and quiet, that's the first time all day where you have time to debrief, right? Where your mind just kind of goes, wait a minute, what did that person say? Or I didn't get this stuff done, or all of the things. And so our girls do this constantly. And one of the parenting techniques that we've found to work, so you can try it at home and see if it works for you, is that if they are anxious, if they are wound up, they can't turn off their brain, one of the parents will go in and we'll have a conversation with them and we'll encourage them to write down a letter for the other parent, right, who is like working or not at home or something. Typically, I'm already asleep. Okay, so this happens where you write a letter to the other and you get down all of your anxieties and stuff and all the baggage that you haven't been able to debrief. And then verbally, though, we'll go through with them after they do that and we'll say, okay, so now let's name some of the things that bring us joy. What are you looking forward to for tomorrow? And it's interesting because sometimes it's a slow go, right? Because it's typically, nothing. Like, okay, fine, you know, our little one may not like one of the specials that she's doing the next day. She's like, it's a music day. I don't want music or something like that. Or, you know, and then it changes from week to week. But pretty often, after we get into the routine of giving thanks, you can even see that their respiration starts to change a little bit. You can see that they're kind of calming down because they set aside the anxiety. And then after we name that, and usually because we're a family of pastors, we pray over them, you know, and then in about 10 minutes, they're asleep. And it works every time, about 50% of the time. You know, it's one of those types of things. But man, you know, and so, but to be real about it, you know, I'm terrible at doing that. I'm good at parenting that oftentimes, but then when I wake up or I can't go to sleep or I can't turn my brain off, like, I want to go and send emails and I want to try to fix it, right? But sometimes we just have to set that aside and name the things that we are grateful for. And so as we do that, and you know, as we kind of name that way that we are good at some things and not at others, we're going to begin this series called With Grateful Hearts. And so the goal being that we need to recognize that we need to increase our gratitude in our lives and cultivate this practice throughout the next few weeks. And so we're going to try to give you some tools and some ideas, and it's all self-report, okay? So if you think that this is like a pass-fail thing, it's really not. It's all self-report. So if you tell me that you've increased by 45%, I'm going to believe you that you've increased by 45%. Everybody passes, okay? So don't let that be a thing that stresses you out. So today we're going to be in conversation looking at some of the ways that we have literally been made for gratitude. And so here's some of that kind of my psychologist hat coming back in, because I spent some time doing classes on health psychology and the way that the things that we interact with and the people that we interact with and the way that we process that then physiologically change the way our body mechanics work and do, and it's fascinating to me. Very few of you would find it fascinating, but for me, it's really neat, because what happens sometimes is that, like, in for my health psychology classes, I could write down stress as the answer to just about every question, and I would at least get partial credit, okay? So if you ever take a health psychology class, write down stress for every single, it's kind of like church. Jesus or teamwork is always one of the answers, right? For health psychology, it's always stress. What is something that negatively impacts the brain chemistry so that you are more restless? It's stress. There you go. What makes you more, what increases your risk factors for experiencing depression? There we go. What unexplained weight gain? It could be, yeah, see, like, you got it. You would pass the class, right? And so taking that and then this other side of the coin sometimes is a branch of psychology called positive psychology, which is just like what it seems. And that seems like a really fun thing, right? Nobody wants to there's no negative psychology, but, like, there's shame researchers like Brené Brown, and they don't get as much play as, say, the people that say, I am positive psychologist, or I'm a shame researcher, right? So we're going to kind of focus then on that positive psychology side of things, because there's a ton of studies that have just come out fairly recently about the way in which the practice of giving thanks and looking at that positive side of what you can do to change your brain chemistry has a ton of research behind of what it does. And so one thing said that if you write down 5 things that you're grateful for every day for 10 weeks, you self-report 25% happier. Isn't that pretty cool, right? Just by taking time and just naming 5 things for 10 weeks and starting that routine and that practice can help with that. Some of the other things that we find is that there's lower cases or lower instances of feelings of depression. Even your blood pressure, if you are in that routine of giving thanks, your blood pressure can lower more effectively than some medications, because you're changing your brain chemistry. Because, like, when you go to bed, you're not always spinning about what's going on. Your fight or flight's not going, oh man, what's going to happen next? What if I do this, or I don't do this, or I have this? When we set those aside and say, but if I give thanks, you know, one of my friends said that when his brain is spinning, if he just starts thinking, like my girls do, about those things about gratitude, that about 10 things in, he's like, just out like a light. How cool is that, right? We are made, our bodies are made, our chemistry is made to give thanks. Our relationships, you know, not only are we physically made for gratitude, but our relationships are made for gratitude. There's another study that was done that said that people would take a 10% decrease if they had a boss or a supervisor who was more positive. Anybody in that situation? No, Barry's like, no, just give me the money and let's go. Yeah, all right. Jill says yes, she's made a job shift, and you've seen that culture change, right? Yeah. And so oftentimes they would say that people would take a 10% decrease. Or another study from the kind of bigger picture is that companies that are do better at expressing gratitude towards those that they serve or work with are 12 times more likely for positive results. How crazy is that, right? Just to say thank you and express gratitude, 12 times more likely. Maybe this one will hit home a little bit more, is that Church of the Resurrection in Kansas City, did a study with their couples, and they said, you know, what are some of those barriers or boundaries or what creates conflict within your marriage? And the top three for men and women were all the same. The first one was communication. No surprise there, right? Secondly was finances. And then the third one was being underappreciated or not valued. Does that feel about right? You don't have to shake your head. Like, you can just be like, okay, you know, but that feels about right for me. And so when we think about that, man, if we just get into the practice or start speaking the love language of our spouse, of our partner, of those significant others that are with us, man, how could that increase or make life better together, right? So our relationships were made for gratitude. And finally, I want to kind of look at the theology about being made for gratitude. As we have this Thanksgiving text every single year, there's this wonderful interaction between Jesus and these 10 with a skin disease, with leprosy. And so it says that as Jesus traveled along the border of Samaria and Galilee, and we know throughout Scripture, you know, the Samaritans are kind of like the bad guys. They would be the guys that you know, were the outcasts, that were the ones that were always known as the villain. And yet, time and time again, what Jesus does is, coming into the conversation, realizes that, man, there is redemption for these folks that were always outsiders and now brings them in. And so they shout because there were all these rules about cleanliness and how far you had to stay away. And if you had this skin disease, you would be in with all these others in this leper colony with others of that skin disease. And so you would have to yell out and you would have to wear, like, it was this, you were pushed out of society. So they yelled out to him and said, Jesus, Master, show us mercy. And Jesus says, go show yourselves to the priests. You'll be fine. And apparently they were. And so you know, go show yourselves to the priests. And after they left, and they had been found to be clean. And a kind of gift of that is that then one stopped. And when the scripture says, you know, one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, he returned to praise God with a loud voice. And Jesus' response was the best, right? He always cuts to it. He's like, that's cool. Weren't there 10 of you guys, right? But that, are those numbers about right? Like, how often do you do the right thing and say that you show that gratitude every single time? Or maybe about 10% of the time? That feels about right for me, but I'm not great at it. And so he goes on, and then the wonderful words, though, is Jesus says to this guy who is an outsider and a foreigner, and the scripture makes it clear that this guy, you know, there were some that were inside God's covenant and some that were outside God's covenant. And it says, is this foreigner the only one that's coming in? And it says, get up and go. Your faith has healed you. Or the better translation is, you know, is that your faith has made you whole. Isn't that kind of a different spin on it? But I think that even when we look at the way that we understand how we interact with God and when we see God, is that there is this great gift, and Ben was right on the money, that there is this great gift of existence that we have, that when we come and we encounter, every breath is a gift, every part of creation is a gift, that when we stop and we slow down and we realize the gift of the wind going through the trees, of all the veins and the leaves, of all the stuff, and you stop and you pause, and you just look around and say, this is gift. There is something beautiful to that, but also in allowing us to be made whole and seeing the wholeness of what God has in store, rather than just running from one thing to another thing to another thing to another thing. When we stop and pause, when we go at the pace of, I don't want to say a three-year-old, because that's kind of a breakneck pace, right, Paul, Sarah? Yeah. He's like, oh, yeah, still recovering from yesterday, right? But maybe like 2-year-old toddler area, when you have to go so slow, you just skipped right over it. When you have to go so slow, where you can actually see the bugs, that are walking along, right? Or when I go on night runs and I have to have my little headlamp and I realize how many like creepy crawly things, like spiders and stuff, their eyes reflect and like, oh, there's a lot more around me than you expect, right? But there's this change in perspective when you slow down and take time. And that's what this one, you know, this is what that 10%, what that leper did was he stops and he realizes where that gift came from. And instead of trying to be good enough, and earning that gift that he had been given, he just comes back and says, thank you. Now, there's some pretty powerful theology there, I think, is that how many of us, after we receive a gift, then we feel obligated to try to do something or get back on even terms with that person that we were given to, right? Like somebody does you a favor, now you owe them one. But if we think about it in terms of our faith, if we think about it in terms of what gratitude really means for us today, and our faith was made for this kind of gratitude, when we try to work out our own salvation and it's just us, we shortchange what the grace of God means. We say that the thing that when you were willing to go on the cross and forgive me fully, well, that was fine, but I'm going to try to make it up here. It's a gift. When we don't receive that as such, we're shortchanging the grace of God. We're shortchanging what God is offering us instead of just saying, man, God, thank you so much. Because in that receiving of the gift, Jesus says, your faith has made you whole. And that's a beautiful thing. And so our faith has been made for gratitude. So as we start to wrap up today, so think about this. Think about if you were to rate yourself on a scale of 1 to, I'll give you 10, okay? So scale of 1 to 10. One being, I have a lot of room for improvement, that gratitude is a very big growing edge for me, and 10 being 100% perfect every time, okay? Where would you fall? 1, I've got a lot of work to do. 10, perfect every time. You don't need to tell me. Remember, this is a self-report thing, okay? So just kind of get in your head where you would be. And now our goal over the next 30 days or so is that you would increase by 1 or 2 points in the next 30 days of showing gratitude, of naming that gift of grace in your life, and then being a more gracious person. Does that sound like a challenge that we could do? And so for the next 30 days, what you're going to do is, as you leave, we're going to have our team giving you one of your gratitude journals. And the goal is that you, every single day, open it up and write a little prayer or write a list of those things that you might be grateful for. And if you're like my daughter, who is very efficient, I gave her one because we were putting them together. And she said, Dad, can I have one of these? I said, yeah, but you have to participate. She goes, okay. I told her the rules, and she goes, so if I just wrote down 30 things right now, I'd be done, right? I said, good try, but that's not the way it works, okay? So every day, write down a few things, and then remember, set a reminder on your phone, do something, so that then every day, when you get into that practice 30 days from now, we'll kind of do that other self-report and say, okay, so scale of 1 to 10, where do you feel like you fall? Because what I would suggest is that you're starting to change some brain chemistry there. You're starting to see the world a little bit differently. You're starting to become like that one leper instead of the other 9. Go, man, I remember or I see where this blessing is coming from. But also, I would imagine that those people that you have friction with, not that you have friction with anybody, okay? Not that you have strife with anybody or anything else. That's just me talking. But what happens is that when I am trying to be intentionally gracious and show gratitude, I get to know the story of the people that I'm having a hard time with a little bit better, and my interactions and my relationships with them is so much better. So as we close today, you'll get one of those in that we can kind of be this community that's kind of creating our own song or psalm book as we go on throughout this next 30 days. So let's close with a word of prayer, and I'll invite the team to come back up. So let's pray. God of grace, we give you thanks for the ways in which you remind us consistently of the ways that you are there and that you are God and we don't have to try to be. God, allow us to have hearts that are grateful, that we are quick to say thanks, and that we are slow to shame and make ourselves feel better at the expense of others. God, allow us to be a force of justice just by the way that we love one another. Allow us to have the fortitude in the next 30 days to take on this challenge, to change our perspective as we name that we have been made for gratitude. God of grace, we thank you for this time to be together. It's in your Son's name that we offer this prayer. Amen.